circumstances. Drowning or hanging, engulfment by a collapsed mine or avalanche, but also through poisoning, lockjaw, or very high fever. Again and again, one hears reports of people being buried alive, presumed dead. The reports speak of knocking from inside the coffin, of desperate cries across the cemetery. Some of those buried thus were later exhumed, and they were found in strange positions, as if they tried with all their might to free themselves before their death. To ascertain whether a person is truly dead, it is recommended to stimulate the soles of the feet by piercing them, to apply a glowing brand, or to pour boiling water over the supposed dead until blisters form on the skin. If in doubt, a thrust with a heart stiletto can provide peace of mind, as is recommended and applied by many physicians. This method can prevent unimaginable suffering. The length of time that a person can survive inside a coffin is determined by the ratio of coffin volume to lung capacity. The expectation is between 40 minutes and an hour at most. I have never come across such a case myself, bar one exception, but that was undoubtedly one of the strangest cases of my entire career. Prologue. The man in the coffin opened his eyes and listened to his own funeral. Muffled fragments of speech reached the depths of his grave, interspersed with the mournful weeping of a woman. He believed he knew who the woman was, and his heart filled with longing. Contrary to his expectations, the air inside the coffin wasn't too stale. The new spruce wood smelt pleasantly of resin, and a little fresh air seeped in through the gaps where the lid had been nailed shut. A faint, almost imperceptible glow of light suffused the dark. Now a deep voice sounded above him. The man inside the coffin was unable to make out the exact particulars of the speech, but he felt certain that it was a befitting one, illustrating to people what a worthy person he'd been. Why hadn't they spoken of him thus when he was still alive? But what was he thinking? He was still alive. He had a nasty headache. His skull felt like it had been dipped in a jar of linseed oil. But yes, he was still alive. Tentatively, he wriggled his fingers and toes, then flexed his right foot, followed by the left, and finally his arms. A coffin was more spacious than he'd expected. Only a tad hard. A crooked nail dug into his right shoulder blade. Also, he felt cold. A blanket would have been nice. The woman above gave another wail, and this time it was accompanied by a monotonous guttural chorus, made by many voices at once. It was a two-syllable word, muttered by the people up there. And it took the man a moment to grasp which one it was. Amen. They were reaching the end. Suddenly, there came a new sound, much closer this time. A soft thud, followed by a patter, and the sound repeated in regular intervals. Scrip, scrip, scrip. The man held his breath. Someone was shoveling dirt onto the coffin. Small stones clacked and skittered across the wooden lid, and the light inside the box grew dimmer as the hole filled with rich, clay-heavy soil. Scrip, scrip, scrip. Then everything went black. Well, as black as the inside of a grave tends to be. Scrip. One last shovelful. Voices growing fainter. Footsteps receding. Silence. The man could practically feel the silence. It was like viscous black oil rising from his legs, enveloping his shivering body and finally reaching his head and his hair, clogging up his ears. He was bathed in silence. It was pleasant, in part because he knew it wouldn't last. The man waited. He waited and listened. At last he could hear something. It was a rhythmic thumping, as if someone were knocking on a door a long way away.